1 Peter chapter 2. Got my little helper back there helping us with the sound tonight, Morgan. 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The word nourishment is defined as the food or other substances necessary for growth, health, and good condition. In order for us to have a healthy spiritual condition, we need spiritual nourishment. There are many things that the Holy Spirit can use to provide us with spiritual nourishment. A biblical song. How many times have you heard a song, whether it's in a worship service or driving to work, that's lifted your spirit or lifted your perspective? A biblical book. Reading can be a very calm and very peaceful thing to do with your time, just to get away from all the distractions, clear your mind, and it's just you with that book and your thoughts. And books written by good Bible teachers are very beneficial for spiritual nourishment. I remember in my early 20s, while I was at Antioch Baptist Church, I went through a span of years there where I was trying to read as many books as I could to gain as much knowledge as I could about God. And I was also going through a time in my life where I was very uncertain about my life. So I was trying to get closer to God. I read a lot of books by John MacArthur, David Jeremiah, Chuck Swindoll, Charles Stanley, and a few others. And those books were a great nourishment for me spiritually in those years especially. Also, encouraging words or a loving rebuke could be good nourishment for our soul, as well as being in good fellowship with our church family and other believers. Having good Christian friendships is a great nourishment. But having said all that, there's one source of nourishment that really does stand on its own, along with prayer, and that's the written word of God. There really is nothing else like it. It, with the Holy Spirit's work, it transforms your life. Also, just so you'll know, if you go to 1 Peter 1, 24 and 25, the Bible speaks of the spoken word of God. Let's look at that, 24 and 25. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. This verse tells us, and it's referring to the spoken word of the Lord, it tells us that the world will pass away. It tells us that the glory of man will pass away. But one thing that will never pass away is the spoken word of God. It will endure forever. And you know, people who hate Christ, who hate the gospel, one day they may burn or destroy our Bibles, the written word of God. But one thing we know is they can never destroy or burn the spoken word of God. Let's look again at verses 2 and 3. Peter uses the illustration of a newborn baby and that baby's desire for milk to illustrate how we are to desire the word of God. Just as a newborn baby needs milk to physically grow, we need the word of God to spiritually grow. We need to read, study, live out, and share the word of God. When we do that, there can be a transformation in our life as the Holy Spirit takes control, and He will do the work of growth in you. When we were talking about the baby, you know, a baby doesn't want a soda. A baby wants milk. A baby needs milk, and we need the Word of God. The more you read and study the Bible, the more knowledge you will gain. The more you live out the Word of God, the more wisdom you will gain. So you see that both knowledge and wisdom is something that we should desire and something that we should crave for spiritually, just as the baby craves for milk. One hindrance, of course, to spiritual growth is sin. We see that in verse 1, where Peter tells us to lay aside sin. Let's look at verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. The Greek meaning there, to lay aside, is like taking off a coat. You know, we need to remove that sin from our life, whatever it may be. So if there is an unconfessed sin in your life tonight, and the Lord will point it out pretty clearly, you need to take it off. You think about when you go into a building with a coat on and you get hot, what do? You take off the coat. But when we start feeling the heat of conviction, it's time to take it off. It's time to confess and repent of whatever that sin may be, so that we will not stunt the work of God in our life, that work of growth that He's doing. The ultimate work, of course, is He wants to make you more like Jesus, but there's other work going on as well. The title of my message tonight is Nourishment for the Soul. And tonight I want to share with you three truths about the Word of God and why it is the nourishment that we need for the soul. And those three truths are, number one, the Word of God is pure. Number two, the Word of God is powerful. And number three, the Word of God is precious. Let's look at the first one. The Word of God is pure. Let's look again at verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. The word sincere there means pure. The Word of God is pure and nourishing in its contents. There is no substitute for it. Just like there's no substitute for the mother's milk or the formula milk for the baby, there is no substitute for the Word of God for the Christian. And the Word of God is pure because it is the Word of God. Let's go to 2 Timothy, just a few pages before. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Chapter 3, 16 and 17, where it tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Not just some of it, not just the parts that make the most sense to us, but all of Scripture. I want to read a quote from my King James Study Bible in regards to inspiration. Inspiration refers to the supernatural guidance of the writers of Scripture by the Spirit of God, so that they wrote what was the divine Word of God, transcribed accurately, reliably, and without error in the original manuscripts. The word inspiration itself pictures God breathing out His word to men. I like to think of it this way. God guided their hearts, mind, and hand in what to write. So the original manuscripts were inspired. And of course, we know that the canon of Scripture was later put together. And by faith, we believe that those who did so did it under God's direction. And if you just think about it, it's amazing how the Bible has been preserved through the centuries, which also shows the hand of God in it. The Bible's been translated into many different languages. There's been countless copies of it. There's been a lot of sacrifices made, especially in the beginning stages, so that you and I can have a copy of the Word of God. And in most cases, we have several copies. So we should never take that for granted. Also in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, he goes on to tell us the benefits of the Word of God in the spiritual growth process. First, it's profitable for doctrine. The teachings of Scripture are pure and sound. They're solid. And one of the mess we're in today, especially even in the churches that leave Scripture, is all because of that. They've left the solid teachings of Scripture. They're pure and sound. Second, it's profitable for reproof. It tells us what is sinful. It tells us also that it's profitable for correction. So it tells us how to correct what is sinful, how to correct our lives from sin. And fourth, it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. So it tells us how to live. And the result of all of this, as we saw in verse 17, is that we'll be spiritually mature and equipped for good works. So the Word of God is the purest nourishment that you can receive for your soul. Not only is the Word of God pure, but number two, the Word of God is powerful. Look again at verse 2. back to 1 Peter. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So the word of God is powerful because it produces spiritual growth with the Holy Spirit's work, of course. When you read, study, and live out the word of God, there will be a transformation in your life. Here's a quote from the Transformation Study Bible by Warren Wiersbe, who says, God's word has life, gives life, and nourishes life. So one of the great evidences that the Word of God does have life, it gives life, and it nourishes life, is that it changes lives. You can't deny that. It changes lives, and it also sustains lives. How many times have we had God had to sustain us through a trial or through a temptation we may have struggled with? So how many lives have been transformed? How many lives have been restored? How many souls have been saved? All because of the word and work of Almighty God. Let's look at, another thing to think about, what's so beautiful about the Word of God is how it can kind of just come right off of the pages, so to speak, through other channels of blessing, through preaching, through teaching, through ministry, through music, books, through the actions of a brother or sister in Christ. So the Word of God is very much alive and powerful. The Word of God is also alive and powerful because of what it reveals about Him. The heart, mind, and will of God is in this book. It's also alive and powerful because of what it reveals about us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Just a few pages over. Hebrews chapter 4, 12 and 13. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So we see the word of God is alive and powerful and piercing. It basically lays our soul naked before God. It strips away all the pretense. There's nothing to hide, no motive to hide, no behavior to hide, because He sees it all and He knows it all. So we have to be honest with ourselves when the Word of God reveals the truth to us about ourselves. Not only is the Word of God both pure and powerful, but it is also precious. A newborn baby, it's one of the most precious sights you'll see. And to hold a newborn baby is one of those tender, precious moments you'll never forget. I remember the first time I held a newborn baby. It was Morgan. She was 2 weeks old. And I was petrified. I was scared when Amy was handing her over to me. Because I don't know, maybe it's all men or just me. But it was kind of intimidating to hold a little child like that. So she squirmed a little bit when Amy passed her over, and then I held her, and she kind of got settled, and you could see that peaceful look on her face again while she was sleeping. And I just remember thinking how precious she was. And the same for Kinley, and the same for all my nephews and nieces. God's blessed me with 4 nieces and 3 nephews, and I love them all. But anyway, when we were born again, we were born from above. So our salvation is precious. The Word of God is precious. And our Lord and Savior is precious. The New King James Version of verse 3 reads like this: If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. In other words, if you've been saved. You see, you cannot grow in Christ until you're first in Christ. And that's what verse 3 is talking about. When we got saved, we got our first taste of the graciousness of the Lord. And you could say that's when we got our first taste of the Word of God. And both are a very precious thing. You know, before then we might say that we got a smell for it, we got close to it, but it wasn't till salvation that we got that taste for the Word of God and the grace of God. And then after salvation is when we must decide how much will we feed on the Word of God. We could all tell the story tonight of when we first got that taste, when we first got saved. You probably remember it well. I remember the moment very clearly. The only reason I know the age, I was 9 years old, is because my mama wrote it down in a little Bible that I had, and I remember looking back and remembering it from my teen years, how old I was. But I remember the moment. I remember I was in the living room of our house, and Pastor Lord Green from Antioch was in our living room explaining, because I had already been asking questions. The Lord was dealing with my heart, but then he went through the gospel and explained it to me. And I remember he prayed a prayer, and I remember precisely afterwards he asked me, how did I feel now that I was saved? And I was a real shy boy, but I didn't have a way with words, so I just remember saying, I'm glad. And I really was. I just felt a peace to come over me. Even as a 9-year-old boy, I knew I was saved. My soul had been saved. No other book will affect your life as much as the Holy Bible. It is the written word of God. Through his word, God has opened a door so that we may enter and know him on a deeper level. Amen. And the deepness of that level really does all depend on how deep you are willing to go. You've heard of the song, As the Deer, which is from the scripture in Psalms 42:1. The word desire here is the same word used there. It's speaking of a longing, a strong desire. It's a deep longing desire. I want to close by reading a portion of those lyrics from that song, and then we can dismiss after my closing prayer. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. As newborn babes, let us desire the pure milk of the word so that we may grow thereby. Let's pray. Father,